This is Walking on Air with Betsy and Sal. Hi there. Welcome to Walking on Air with Betsy and Sal. Every now and then, we get a really big news day. And I'm not happy to report this, but I'm actually very sad to report that obviously most people know this is a very, very, it's been a sad couple of days. We've lost some big stars in the entertainment world. I'm going to say Ed McMahon was not a huge loss because, let's face it, the guy was old, all right, and as Sal says, maybe a little talent free. Well, sorry for his family and for the Tonight Show people who remember him and all that. But Farrah Fawcett and Michael Jackson hit me kind of hard. How about you, Sal?
Well, I can't believe I'm laughing because it is a somber tone, but Betsy, you're treating it like we've lost a public figure.
Well,
like a state figure.
I'm telling you, the Michael Jackson, the Farrah thing, Farrah I had been prepared for, okay, because we've seen Farrah's story, we've been talking about it.
You know what? I think that's the truth. The truth is, with cancer, you have preparation.
You do, but when someone dies suddenly, like Michael Jackson did, it's shocking, and he was such a big part of our youth, our growing up. It's not easy, but what we want to do, we're bringing in our entertainment specialist, movie man, Matt Swan, who knows all in the entertainment world. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Betsy. Hi, Sal.
We're bringing you in. You're going to do a double segment with us this afternoon. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Farrah and Michael, and then we're going to go on to the proposal a little bit later on. Then we'll lighten things up and we'll talk boyology, Sal.
I'm in, but...
All right, but let's start with a little ode to Farrah real quickly.
Can I just ask Matt?
Yes.
Matt, one quick question. Pretend you are the editor-in-chief of People magazine. Who gets the cover, Farrah or Michael?
Michael Jackson.
Absolutely, yeah. With Farrah on the inset. I'm sorry to say it.
I think
well, and I think part of that, too, is what you were just talking about. I think that we were sadly expecting Farrah Fawcett to pass away. And Michael Jackson's death just seems to come out of nowhere. And besides Ed McMahon, I'd also like to point out that that John Calloway passed away this week. And I really admired his work as well.
Now, John Calloway, are we talking radio star?
He was on Channel 11.
Channel 11?
PBS. He was the host of Chicago Tonight
for a
long
time.
Yeah. Was a very good journalist.
By the way, it's funny you mention him because my brother-in-law called up yesterday, and he said, John Calloway died. I'm so upset. Everybody from my generation seems to be dying. And I said, Steve, the man was 84.
Okay.
Wait,
can I
you're
just
50.
Stop? Can we go back to Farrah?
Okay, let's do Farrah.
Yes,
here's my little intro to Farrah. Here we go. You know, we had to get a little bit.
Every time I go on the air with you, I want to go, hello, Angel.
Hello, Charlie.
And, you know, she was so beautiful and had just such a great spirit, it seemed, that in a way, I don't think she was one of the great actors, you know, who was able to match her beauty with her talent, like Elizabeth Taylor and Katharine Hepburn and some of the great beauties of our time have done. But she was really a very good actress, and I think she made herself into an even better serious actress than she was kind of that light, fluffy actress that we saw so much in Charlie's Angels.
She didn't like being that light, fluffy actress.
Right.
No, she did not.
And, you know,
and sadly, I think her big legacy is still going to be that iconic poster of her that is still the best-selling poster of all time.
Is it still the best-selling poster?
It is the best-selling poster.
Let me say, Gary Kaplan had two of them in his bedroom.
That was Sally's boyfriend in junior high. In sixth grade, my teacher actually had that poster on the wall. And let me just say, the boys in my class did not do very well in that class.
She was known.
Okay. And I will tell you that your entertainment reporter never had a copy of that poster.
Oh.
It's not too late. It's not too late, Mr. Entertainment. She was known then. I remember my boyfriend Gary said she's the Wella Balsam girl.
Right.
that she was.
There you go.
So.
And I just saw a TV commercial, like a way back commercial. That's her and Penny Marshall did like one of their first commercials together as roommates who discover the wonders of hair conditioning.
And didn't she also do with Joe Namath the Noxzema ad?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
holy moly.
Yeah. She was really the girl next door with that big, beautiful smile. And, you know, I also heard she and Ryan O'Neal never got married. And
they did not.
At the end there, he was proposing to her just even a few days ago. And she just, you know.
Well, he said she agreed to get married as soon as she could say yes.
Oh, it's like love story. It's like love story.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll miss Farrah, but can we, now I have to be honest, my heart is heaviest because of Michael Jackson.
I'm really sad about it.
Matt, are you having any qualms at all separating Michael Jackson, the artist, from Michael Jackson, the, and then fill in the blank?
Adult. Let's
adult.
Say adult.
Well, sadly enough, I think his legacy will always be tarnished by his personal eccentricities and certainly by the damage it seems he has done to people in his sphere. But certainly as far as his musical legacy, I think that will last forever. You know, I think that that music and the visual arts like painting and sculpture are the most long-lasting art forms. And I think that, generations from now will still discover that that great pop sound that Michael Jackson was able to create.
Now, Sal and I have put together several clips of Michael through the years.
We can't say it's the best of. We can just say it's our favorites of.
It's what we like. And we want to start with this one. And we're going to let you name it. We won't say it until the end here and give you a chance. But this one, really, when you hear this young voice, it makes you really...
But don't give it away.
Well, okay, you're going to know it's young when you... But hold on, here we go.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a long clip.
Well, that's the love song to a rat.
When I found out that was to a rat, I was flabbergasted.
That's Ben, which oddly enough is from a movie called Willard.
It's the movie's Willard?
I didn't know that was
Willard
from a movie.
Is the main pet rat.
Okay, but when you hear that song, don't you immediately go to the album cover where his giant face is on there with the big afro, and he looks so young and innocent? I'm telling you, I loved that album.
Did you like that song, Matt, or is that a girl song?
Girl song.
Yeah, I think we're actually, we may have picked every girl song that he's ever done.
No. I didn't, Sally.
No.
Okay, Betsy.
I did.
Well, I think a lot of the Jackson 5 songs were such great, pop hits. And, I think of like, 1, 2, 3, and
ABC.
One Bad Apple and all that. Yeah.
All right, I'll give you one that's not a girl song. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
Making a cat growl? Matt?
That was me, yeah.
I think he growled. I do.
I went, ow!
Okay, I never liked that song.
Are you serious?
Beat It, yeah.
Yep, that was not my thing.
Beat It and Billie Jean and Thriller. I think all three of those are tremendous songs.
Didn't like Billie Jean.
What?
I'm just saying, they were not my favorite.
All right, then you know what? Matt Swan, I'm spinning this one out to you. That's
and
too
and
good.
Much as Farrah's poster is the biggest selling poster, I think Thriller is still the number one selling album of all time.
Should we need to all three come clean? I own it. Betsy?
Oh, absolutely. I don't own it in the CD version,
Matt?
But I used to own it in the LP.
I never had it as a record or as a CD.
Matt, did you have Off the Wall?
I have to tell you, my Jackson 5 / Michael Jackson collection is blank, is
you
void.
Know, I
have none.
Okay, let's just say you're no fun. Does Judy have any of these?
Oh, Judy might have Thriller.
Yeah.
We have two boxes of albums downstairs, and Judy's, I think, might have Thriller. I'm not sure.
Do you remember when that came out? People were waiting in lines, and it just, you know, they just wanted to dress like Michael in that with the short leather jacket, and they wanted to do the dance, and
it was just fun.
It was
to
a big music video, yeah.
Did you?
And a music video directed by John Landis.
Ooh.
I did not know that. Now, how much of the choreography did Michael Jackson do?
He had a co-choreographer who's also in Beat It, you know, who's like the leader of the other street gang. And I think the two of them worked out a lot of those moves.
Now, I have a...
And I cannot remember his name.
Oh, Betsy wants to play all these.
I'm desperate
to play a few more. We'll play another one, but I want to ask Matt, can you think of contemporary artists who are as talented? I mean, I'm beginning to think Beyonce... Maybe, do you think?
Well, as multi-talented,
yeah.
I think Michael Jackson's impact as a dancer is right up there, you know, maybe not as much as his singing, but I think actually his movement was much more innovative than his sound was.
It was new, you're right. I mean, he really, nobody had done the moonwalk, nobody had done all these things that he did.
But he was good at it.
He was really good. He was really good.
Yes, he was. I don't think he will ever rate quite up there with like a Sinatra or, you know, a few other
pop
figures.
What about Elvis?
I don't think, well, it's the sad thing is Elvis that last 20 years was a pretty hard stretch.
Yeah, but so
but
was
even
Michael.
With Michael Jackson, the last 10 haven't been so rosy. So I would probably equate him equal with Elvis.
That's pretty heady.
He was huge. I think he was really influential. We got to play a little bit of one
go
more.
Ahead. Go
Here
ahead.
We go. Here's one more.
I have to tell you, that's one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs. I like that. I like Man in the Mirror quite a bit, too.
Okay, the Human Nature song, Matt, is my favorite song. I played that on my Sony Walkman walking around New York as a college student in an internship for 3 months straight, over and over.
Oh, you were painting a picture there, Sally Higginson.
That's what I'm telling you. And, you know,
I can see that.
The cassette, I'd have to rewind it and play it again. Rewind it. I'm so glad you like that song.
You were carrying the boombox on your shoulder.
No, she's still carrying it. All right, Matt, when we come back after the break, we're going to switch gears and we're going to talk about the movie The Proposal. Thank you so much for helping us out with this tribute.
I'll talk to you in a minute. Thank you, ladies.
Okay.
Welcome back to Walking on Air with Betsy and Sal and Movie Man Matt. Welcome, Matt.
Hi, Sally. Hi, Betsy.
Matt.
I don't want to give too much away, but I'm still laughing, and that's how I'm starting the discussion about Sandra Bullock's new comedy, The Proposal. You want to give a little synopsis, Mr. Matt?
I will. Sandra Bullock plays Margaret Tate, who is kind of a dominating book editor for a high-powered publishing house, who finds that she is about to be deported. So she arranges a quickie and illegal marriage with her assistant, played by the very good Ryan Reynolds. He, of course, is devoted to publishing and uses this as a stepping stone. But first, before they get married, they have to go up and visit his family in Alaska, where they meet the fascinating Betty White as his grandmother, and his parents, played by Mary Steenburgen and Craig T. Nelson. And as you would expect in this kind of romantic comedy, a lot of machinations ensue until we reach our happy ending.
Plenty of that was brilliant, and let me just add, plenty of Mary mix-ups occur.
We saw this, Matt, with a boatload of teenage girls surrounding us in the movie theater. And I have never, in all my years going to a movie theater, heard a bursting round of applause.
Spontaneous
laughter at all the moments when they were so excited if something happened that they wanted or something didn't. It was hysterical, Sally. Did that make you laugh as hard as it made me laugh?
Spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, when our main characters finally get together and kiss. I'm just going to say this. There was like an eruption of applause and giggles and pent up energy.
These girls were so excited. It had just happened to them. Did you have any of those in your movie theater, Matt?
We did not. But it sounds to me like there's your target audience right there.
Oh, I'm guessing that means it may not have been you who loved it as much.
You know what? I liked the first half of this very much. I laughed a lot. I think it loses a lot of steam like at about the halfway point, and I thought the last half hour of it or so was not that enthralling. I don't feel like it built up to a pleasing crescendo for me.
I think that's a fair assessment. On the other hand, you and I had talked about great comedians. And we didn't mention Sandra Bullock.
Oh, she's brilliant.
She is a strong, funny comic actress.
I would agree. And I've always liked Sandra Bullock quite a bit. And I think she wanted to stray away from this kind of genre. And she is very good. She and Ryan Reynolds have a really good chemistry. I don't know necessarily that it's a nice romantic chemistry. And one problem I had with it is this whole subplot with Craig T. Nelson, who I usually like very much, who plays Ryan Reynolds' father. And they have a lot of tension that I don't feel really is really warranted. I think it's kind of thrown in just to be another plot point.
I agree. I did not like that one small part of it. Mm-hmm. But I loved everything else.
I have to confess that when Sandra Bullock meets Ryan Reynolds' father, what's his name?
Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah. I thought, those two look like a good pair. Like they were age appropriate, which then struck me with how warped our perception of how old the man should be and how young the woman should be. And I thought it was striking because the truth is, Sandra Bullock, she's your Demi Moore. She could go 10 years up, 10 years down. It doesn't matter. She fits.
I would agree with that.
Correct with any dish, right?
So I would agree. One weird thing now. Tell me if you felt this way. One person that's getting a lot of notice from this is Betty White, who really is very charming and very funny. But it seems to me like her character changes completely after about 20 minutes. At first, she seems to be kind of like that tough-talking, lay-it-out-as-it-is, tough old broad grandma. And then about 20 more minutes go by, and suddenly she's like this earth mother who is
in tune
with nature.
All right.
There was an odd change, but I got to say, I love Betty White so much.
You know,
me too.
That she was fun to watch, and you laughed because you knew it was Betty White doing it, even though it was predictable.
No, let me say this. They should have cut the dance around the fire scene completely. It was ridiculous.
I would agree with that.
Ridiculous.
All right, before we get to our popcorn kernel rating system, what did you think of the scenery?
Well, I thought it was very beautiful, but that ain't Alaska.
I know. Now, Sally, did you know this? I was about to throw this on you.
I think it's New Hampshire. Somebody told me
it's Massachusetts. I think it's Bearskin Neck, Rockport, Massachusetts. Is that correct?
I thought it was Connecticut, but you sound much more knowledgeable.
Yeah, I think it's.
Alaska.
In Cape Ann, I know, but it's just, it makes you want to move to Alaska, but don't, because that's not really
that's
where
right.
It was.
Now, there you go.
It's a trick.
Don't move to Alaska.
It's a trick. All right, let's do our five kernel rating system. Obviously, one being you could miss this, and five being go right now. Let's start with hunkability factor, Matt.
Well, I would go on Sandra Bullock and actually Mary Steenburgen, who I've always liked quite a bit. So it's a 4 for me.
A 4? And there's almost complete nudity. I mean, Sandra Bullock stands with her hands
Eve style.
Like Eve covering the major points.
Like Venus on the half shell. Yes, she does.
Sal, what do you give it?
I give it a 7 because...
Really?
Oh, yeah. I give it a 7. Number one, I am transfixed by Sandra Bullock and her unbelievably fit body. And number two, Ryan Reynolds. And I get a plenty big slice of Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, there was a big slice of Ryan Reynolds. I wasn't convinced that those muscles were actually his, though. I was not convinced. I've seen him in other films. He didn't look quite as ripped. I'm going to give it a 4. All right, Saturday Night Date Factor.
I think that is him, by the way.
Oh, you
do? He's been working out quite a bit, yeah. Because
that's what
he's
I think.
Been in,
okay,
yeah.
All right, I'm willing
he's
to go with
some
that.
Action movies.
Real quickly, Matt, Saturday Night Date Factor, we're probably all going to agree.
Kind of charming. I'd say a 3, 3, 8.
I'm going with 5.
I don't think it's so much for guys.
It's a perfect Saturday Night Date
Can
movie.
Can I say this, Matt?
Mm-hmm.
David joined Betsy, Tim joined me, the four of us went together, and all four of us laughed heartily.
All four of us. All right, family.
Wait, so I give it a 5.
Family suitability?
Maybe a 2 or a 3. I don't know if there's that much that is objectionable.
Did you have your coffee?
I don't think little kids would like this.
Did you have your coffee this morning?
I'm just drinking it now.
All right. We are running out of time. Sally and I think, both 4 on family suitability.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything bad.
We're going to own it.
We're going to own it. Let's just go right to overall popcorn rating. Matt, what do you give it?
I'm going to give it a 3.8.
Sal?
Oh, you curmudgeon. 4.7.
I'm going to go with 4.5.
It's not a great movie, but I know with 2 teenage girls, we will own it, and there will be a rainy day, and we will watch it again.
And by the way, the soundtrack, Sal, thanks for reminding me to listen. I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I did not.
Oh, boy. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back to Walking On Air with Betsy and Sal. Here's something I don't say often. Thank goodness I'm married. And I say that in part because today, this minute, this second in history, I do love my husband and I'm happy. But also, I'm cosmically thrilled that I'm not dating. Now, that said, I have 2 teenage daughters. Betsy has a teenage daughter and a teenage son and a preteen son. Is he preteen?
He sure is, Sal.
And we're not so clueless as to think that basically the girls wait home by the princess phone and the boys drive up and shake our hands and say, "Hi, Mrs. Brady, I'd like to take your daughter Marsha out." Things have changed. Now, there's a book out that helps set the course straight for dating and what girls should think about boys, a little bit what boys should think about girls in the 21st century. The book is called Boyology, a Teen Girl's Crash Course in All Things Boy. The author, Sarah O'Leary Birmingham, which I think is hard to say, is joining us. Welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, let me hear you say your name fast.
Sarah O'Leary Birmingham.
Yeah. She's had practice.
I've had lots of practice, though.
But is the Sarah O'Leary a little tricky?
It is a little tricky. And, you know, but I couldn't give up my maiden name. It was such a part of me for so long. It was too hard to give up. And so it's actually my middle name. But when you put a book out, this is a good trick. You still want your parents' friends and the people you grew up with to know who you are. I always thought it was kind of annoying. But the truth is, you want them to know it's your book so they'll pick it up.
You know what? I write a book. Sally Schwartz Higginson. That's what's going on the byline.
You know what, though?
Going
to be on the cover.
I'm just curious because we had you on the show a few months ago, or actually I think it was a year ago, about your book, How to Raise Your Parents. I'm not so sure you wanted your parents' friends to read that one. Am I right?
Well, you know, I actually got the parents' permission before that came out. I said, okay, guys, you know, I'm going to be with you a lot longer than this book is going to be on shelves. You've got to give me the go-ahead. And they were great, great sports about it.
Now, you did something brilliant with this. I'm guessing you put this book out before you had teenage daughters.
I did. My husband, who is, I figure, you know, my tips work because I have this great man that I'm married to. He keeps teasing me that we've really got it coming to us.
Yeah.
When we do have kids and they get up and they've got How to Raise Your Parents and Boyology in their hands.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to say this. Good luck and drink vodka. Now, let's talk about the book.
Okay.
Let's talk about Boyology. What are some of the B-O-Y basics?
Well, you know, boys, I didn't want to make generalizations, but there actually are a lot of general things that fit most guys. And I found when I was talking to teenagers, I interviewed about 2,000 teenagers for this book, that most guys hate shopping. And I think that is something that stays with them. You know, they don't want to go shopping when they're a teenager. They don't want to go shopping when they're a grown-up. Like, no shopping involved. That is not a fun first date.
Okay, I have two boys around that age, and that is correct. They do not like shopping. Ding! I give you credit.
But is that really a newsflash for girls?
I think so. I mean, it's even looking back at my own dating years, I remember thinking, oh, let's go to the mall. Because there was something really social about being at the mall, and kind of pressure-free. It was a place that I knew, you know, sad for my parents that I knew them all. But you know, for a guy, there's nothing fun. There's not a redeeming quality about that.
Well, and not only that, can I just throw a little tip out there? You don't want your guy to like shopping. And here's a perfect example, and I'm going to point to my sister. Her husband insisted on helping with the registry for the wedding.
Oh, yeah, I'm still bitter.
And she's still bitter about it because it wasn't the thing she wanted. Now, my husband's like, do whatever you want. I could care less. Keep me out of the store. Right. It was a bonus.
And you end up with a well-stocked kitchen.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's one thing they have in common.
Now I'm in a bad mood just remembering that.
Oh, no.
Go ahead. You two chat. I'm going to be bitter about our crystal.
Well, I have to say, you know, so one of the girls, I got questions from teenage girls and actually took them to the boys to get the answers. I thought that would be important to get the, you know, get it straight from the source. And one, a lot of girls actually said, what do guys talk about when we're not around?
Oh, I loved the answer in the book about this. Go ahead and give the answer. It is so funny.
This guy, this really cute guy says sports. I mean, sometimes we talk about girls, but mostly we talk about sports and stuff. And, you know, girls are always talking about boys, always. But the guys, you know, they've got other things on their minds.
Well, I was going to say, I like the answer, too. And I guess it's not what do they talk about. It's what are you thinking about? And I love Lance, who's 17, who says, my girlfriend used to ask me what I was thinking about every 10 minutes. And most of the time, I wasn't really thinking about anything. She wouldn't believe me, so I had to make stuff up just to get her to stop asking. I thought that was a brilliant answer.
I love that, too. When one guy, it's not in the book, but one guy said, I always just answer, you. You know, and I thought, yeah, right, you're that's not thinking about us.
But that's a smart guy.
Wait a minute. That's what my husband says all the time.
No.
Well, you might be in there somewhere, but probably not as much as he says it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, now, one of the things I've noticed...
No, I'm in a bad mood.
No. One of the things I've noticed about my two girls, and one is 15, one is 17, they just finished sophomore and junior year in high school. Both of them enjoyed having crushes and kind of pining over the boys more than actually going out with them. And they said to me, Mom, the hunt is so much more fun than the catch.
I want to disagree because my daughter is completely different. She hated the hunt, hated the hunt, and loves the catch and loves being in the relationship. So what are you finding?
Well, I actually think, I mean, it really depends on the girl. And there's nothing wrong with the hunt. It is fun, and it's you're meant to be meeting a lot of different types of people to figure out what you want. I mean, ultimately, dating as a teenager, you're kind of setting patterns for who you're going to be as an adult, you know, who you're going to end up with, and what you want in a relationship. So maybe that is consistency and commitment. And in that case, it's fine. You know, don't play all those games. But if you really just do want to meet a lot of different people and you actually enjoy the crush and, you know, talking with your girlfriends about it, there's nothing wrong with that either. I think dating is meant to be fun.
All right, so let's go back. You just said something that I want to talk about. You said you're setting, you know, kind of the course for who you might end up with later in life. And you lay out in your book the many different breeds of boys that are out there.
This was funny.
Could you please go through the breeds? So we're trying to figure out who our kids are dating.
No.
Oh, I love that.
I have to interject this.
Yes.
There's on page, oh man, the pages are every other page. Page 20, you have the type selector. And you've got 8 pictures. And let me just say this. You've got random, like, categories. The president, the tortured artist. They're cartoon. But I could give specific names my girls have dated. And they're exact types. And these look like portraits of them.
It's so funny.
Go ahead. You hit this nail on the head. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, I did. Like I said, I interviewed all these boys. And I had a lot of them categorize themselves. Which really helped, you know, because at first they're like, oh, I don't know. But you get them talking, it takes a while to open up, and they'll start to say, I think I'm an artist. So, you know, you've got the tortured artist.
We'll call him Giffen. Sorry, I hope Giffen's not listening.
Sorry, Giffen.
Go ahead.
You know, he's got his little notebook. He thinks he's really sophisticated, and he has lofty dreams. He's also very too cool for school. Way too cool for school.
Yeah,
that's Giffen.
That's Giffen.
Keep going.
And then you have the Athleticus Gradius.
We'll call him Zacho.
By the way, that seems to be my son, yes.
And you know, this is great because anyone who really, it's like that guy who said, we talk about sports mostly. There's a big team feeling when you're a teen guy, and sports are a really big deal. And so if you're good at sports, you know, it's no surprise that it would become a big part of your personality.
But you know what else he talks about other than sports? He talks about sports.
Right.
Exactly. He's hungry.
Yeah, sometimes exactly. He talks about sandwiches. Other than that,
all right,
sports.
Keep going.
Then we have the metrosexual.
Okay, I don't know any of these. Bets, do you?
He's more, maybe a little more urban, yeah. But he kind of looks like Orlando Bloom. You know, he's got that, like, skinny, urban look. He's not quite a hipster, but he's on the verge of being a hipster, and he really cares about how he looks.
I think those kind of emerge
in the mirror.
Don't they kind of emerge in the later years a little bit?
Like college? I think there might be. My kids, I haven't brought home one, but I have no trouble imagining it.
No, my kids don't bring home guys who smell that good. I wish they would.
Right. That is one thing that the metrosexual has going for him.
Yes, it is.
Cologne. And then there's Mr. President. And you know these guys. They are really driven, and they're kind of suck-ups, which is not a bad thing.
I'm just going to say this. There was a senior at the high school who was in charge. I think he's president. And Betsy, the mother actually was a little worried that Betsy's interest in Mr. President.
Well,
am I right, Betsy?
Can I just tell you, he wears a suit more than my husband.
Right.
And he's so cute, and he's so nice.
He's so Mr. President. I'm voting for him. I'm actually his campaign manager.
Well, he's got my vote, too.
There you go. Matthew,
that's a good
we hope he's not listening.
So, the mama's boy. And we all know boys like this. And this is kind of a mix because you want a guy who is nice to his mother. Very important. But you don't want a guy who can't make a decision or do anything without consulting his mother. And the mama's boy is a little over the top. You know, he can't really make any decisions and can't really go anywhere without running it by his mom.
I'm not bringing a name to this one.
Okay.
Oh, really? Not. I was thinking of someone, but I'm
not using a name.
All right.
Go ahead. Next.
So I know who it is.
You know who it is.
Yeah.
We'll keep it quiet. We won't put him on the spot.
Your daughter might have dated him.
Keep going.
The surf stud. And he's also very athletic, but definitely different kinds of sports. You know, he's kind of a hippie. He's got good sense of humor, kind of laid back, nice guy.
Josh Ruby. He left his skateboard all winter at our house, and in the spring when he came over, he's like, whoa, Mrs. Higginson, this is awesome. I couldn't remember where I put it. He's the nicest guy, but I don't know if he worries about anything.
Well, the thing is, though, when you look at him that way, it's fun, but when you think about who you want your daughter to date,
right.
It's a little different. All right, keep going. We got the surf stud. Who's next?
Then we've got the tactilian. And this is a guy he's techie. He knows all the latest and greatest, but he's also like a little earth conscious. His dream car is a hybrid, you know, because it's so techie. And it used to be, in fact, when I was in high school, we were talking about this before, but I'm 29. I wasn't dating that long ago. And geeks were just getting to be cool. And now I feel like a lot of girls I talk to, they like someone who's really smart and geeky. So the tactilian is the geek.
My gosh, Sarah, we have to take a break. We were so excited. We didn't even watch the time. Sarah O'Leary, Birmingham.
Stay with us.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. We're talking boys, baby. It's boy time. Boyology is the book, a teen's crash course in all things boy. The author, Sarah O'Leary Birmingham. She is also the author of, where is it?
How to Raise Your Parents.
How did I forget? How to Raise Your Parents. We loved that book. And Sarah's joining us going through the different categories of boys. And this is really, you know, how to choose what you're looking for. And it tells you the type. And Sally and I are having a lot of of fun plugging in the teenage boys we know into each of these categories. The Tectilian, Sally, that's where we left off.
We left off. That's the boy.
Adam?
Well, I was also thinking Gabe.
Gabe.
Now, let me ask you something.
Sam.
Sarah.
We got a few.
Sarah, how many of the Tectilians actually have the confidence to date in high school?
You know, they're getting it more and more, especially since, like I said, geeks are getting to be cool.
Well, they might be, girls might be attracted to them, but our experience is they're not necessarily ready to look up and look out into the world.
Well, and I think a lot of guys are. I mean, girls mature faster than boys, and that's what I found while I was doing my research, too. It's not just something that's scientific. I mean, I know there have been studies, but the girls that I talked to were much more mature and could kind of see farther into the future than most of the guys. So that doesn't surprise me at all, and I think, you know, the guys, you know, they are thinking about girls, but they might not be thinking about getting married or having a girlfriend for the entire summer. Right. So as a girl, you kind of got to know what you're in for.
All right, we need to quickly go over the hip hopper. We'll call him Jordan.
Jordan the hip hopper. You know, he's like got his earphones in all the time. He's listening to hip hop, latest and greatest. He's got a little bling. That's key. And with guys, it's really funny. A lot of them that I've talked to, they wear huge stud earrings, which cracks me up.
Oh, yeah. That goes without saying. And usually they pierced it themselves.
Yes.
Now, I got a question.
Scary.
As a girl, as a younger girl than we are, what do you think about guys wearing jewelry? There's certain jewelry I think's okay and certain I think it's not. How do you feel about it, Sarah?
Personally, I am a no jewelry kind of girl. I mean, my husband, for instance, is like a jump in the shower, rub my hair with a towel, get dressed, go kind of guy. Like easy, breezy, like no, he doesn't look in the mirror, and I have to drag him to go shopping. That's just my taste, but a lot of girls that I talk to, they like someone who really cares about their appearance and takes a little time.
Which category is your husband? What type?
Oh, he's totally the Tectilian.
I just have one quick question, then I want to get to some of the other more, you've actually got a lot of serious stuff, but you did leave out the class clown.
You know, I did, you're right. I kind of pictured him as the surf stud.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I might put him in there, too.
But, you know, then Henry doesn't fit. You missed the clown.
The clown.
But that's okay. Let's talk. There's actually some...
Henry's not mama's boy?
Oh, no.
Really?
Oh, no, no, no.
Okay.
No. But Kyle might have been. Let's talk. There's actually some serious stuff in here, which I want to address. I mean, for example, I don't know the page, but when no means no, and what happens when no gets ignored.
You know what? I'm so glad you brought this up. This is the most important thing in the book because there's this whole chapter. It's chapter 6, You Wear the Pants. And I think even when, as a family, you decide the one-on-one dating age, say it's 15 or 16 for your daughter, your daughter's actually interacting with guys long before that. You know, she's seeing them at school, at friends' houses, after-school activities. So she has to figure out what her boundaries are early, and oftentimes a lot earlier than parents are thinking. And she's got to know because, you know, we've all been in those situations where you freeze up or suddenly you feel a lot of pressure. And if you don't know where you stand and what your personal boundaries are, it's really easy to let them slide in the moment. But the girl who knows what she wants and is willing to say no has a much better chance of just saying it in the moment when she's on that pressure and not freezing up. And I'm a big believer, you know, no means no. It's always meant no. It will always mean no. And a lot of the guys that I talk to really do indeed respect that. So it's important to find a guy who respects that.
I think that's true. One of the things your book does address, and again, most of this is funny, is lighthearted. It's still apt, but you do talk about the majority of date rapes occur with people, you know, with the boy and the girl know one another.
I think that's date rape.
Yeah.
Yeah, date, what did I say?
Go ahead.
And then the other thing that is you've got examples of ways to say no to assert yourself, which at least plants it in the brain. One of the things we've talked about at great length with our daughters is make sure you avoid putting yourself in a situation where you might not be able to be in control.
Right, you
so
always
going
need
to
an
the room
out.
Separate. And one thing that both my teenage girls, and they're not big, and incomprehensibly I have these tiny little daughters. You know, they're 5'6", but they're slight. And I say you don't want to be in a room or in a dorm or in somewhere alone with a guy because he could just decide to overpower you. And they both think they can fight back and overpower. They have no concept.
My daughter also. She's grown up thinking, I'm just as good as the guys. I'm just as strong as the guys. This and this. And they have this false sense of strength that really, maybe they have inner strength, but the physical strength they lack. And they need to know their limits, and they need to know maybe a little bit of self-defense. And you talk a little bit about that.
I actually took a self-defense class before I finished writing this book so that I could put it into this chapter, because I think every girl should do it. And the message of a self-defense class is exactly what you're saying. Don't put yourself in a situation where you might need your self-defense.
Right. That's what every self-defense teacher starts with. That's the best self-defense.
All right, now let's turn this back around to fun.
Yes.
And you have a lot of celebrity shout-outs in here. And I want to know, for instance, you know, Kirsten Dunst is quoted in here, and Emma Roberts. How did you get all these actresses to give little shout-outs in the book?
Well, so a lot of them I found in interviews that they've done. You should see, I read every teen magazine. I
love it.
All of the stuff, and then I would go back and look and put it into context, and sometimes I called a few magazines. I called 17 to get additional quotes on an interview that they'd done, and it was really fun because you see that these celebrities, they might seem otherworldly, but Mandy Moore, Kirsten Dunst, they've been there. They're breaking up. You know, like, they're just figuring out their dating lives, too. And Mandy Moore has this great quote where she says, I'm an equal opportunity dater. I'm all over the map. And I thought, you know, that's right. She's just trying to figure out who she wants and who she's with. And I know she got married recently, but she really did date all these different kinds of guys.
Do you really think that you're setting up, even as early as high school, setting up patterns that you will continue in college and after college in terms of making sure that you date somebody who respects you, making somebody sure you date somebody who treats you well, or if your, you know, high school 15-year-old boyfriend cheats on you, which usually means he kisses somebody else, and you break up, are you really just establishing a pattern, I won't put up with this?
Oh, I definitely think so. Especially in a time when, I mean, there's so much insecurity, and you really are just figuring yourself out, not just in relationships, but, you know, who you are and who your friends are going to be and what you want to do with yourself. So to set a pattern where you are demanding that people respect you and that you are respecting yourself, that will stay with you.
You know, you really are a teenologist. I want to give you that title, and I think that you should just hang a shingle out on your door. You are, the foremost teenologist in the country. You stay, you know, in touch with all these teens. You talk to them daily. Is there any advice for parents who are raising actual teens and that we need to know? You know what teens are thinking. You're also thinking like an adult. What should we be worried about or telling them?
Well, you know, I think it's really important. I'm going to say one question that I asked every teenager was, who is the most important person in your life? And almost every teenager, I mean, we're talking 99%, said mom, dad, or my parents. And so I know they're not telling you that. They told me they're not telling you that. But they really love you, and they respect you, and they listen to what you have to say.
You're my favorite author.
Well, they do, and it's not just me. I'm not just saying that. So sometimes it seems like, you know, you have these conversations, you want to talk about these serious things. But I guess a piece of advice I would offer after talking with these teenagers is to talk a lot. You know, those off-the-cuff conversations, those conversations that you have when, you know, your daughter walks in from school and you might be in the kitchen running through a million things and you say, oh, hey, I just saw Bristol Palin on the cover of People magazine. What do you think about that?
So look for the opportunities and start the discussions. Sarah O'Leary Burningham, this is a fabulous manual for all girls and boys teen. It is called Boyology, a Teen Girls Crash Course in All Things Boy. Thank you once again for joining
us
on the show.
Thanks so much, you guys.
I love it.
For joining us on Walking on Air with Betsy and Sal. This show was produced by Claudia Schwartz and was broadcast from the Pocket Limp Productions World Headquarters.